Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, Rosh Shloisha V'Heim Bezdin. There's 3 people saw the new moon, and all 3 of these people are members of the Bezdin. So the Mishnah taught us, Yam Dushnaim, 2 of these people should get up to say Edith when they saw the new moon, Yeshivu Mechavreim Eitzel Ayochid. And we should bring 2 other people to sit with the one remaining Dayan. Then now we will have 3 Dayanim to hear the testimony of these 2 people about the new moon. Amai, again, asked the Gemara a similar question as we asked at the end of the previous year. Hoch Nami Neimel, why don't we here also say, Loi Tehe Shmi Gedolah Maria, that why do we need witnesses to come and say, we go through a procedure of witnesses saying and the Bezdin hearing, they saw themselves. What's the point of this official speech? So perhaps you'll suggest that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, as we suggested in the previous case, that's referring to Keshkegan Sheru Belaila, where the judges saw the moon at night, and since night is not the time when one can be Mekadosh HaChodesh, so that's Riyah is not considered a full-fledged Riyah that is considered a Kiddush HaChodesh. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, then Hainu Hach, then there's no difference between this case and the previous case. What is the Mishnah adding by teaching us this case? Answer the Gemara, Sefer Istruchlei, this case, which is the latter case that's being mentioned in the Mishnah, is coming to teach us that a Bezdin for Kiddush HaChodesh cannot exist just with one Dayan. The Sakdat Chamina Hoyel, we would think that just like we learned with Tanya, that a Bezdin referring to monetary issues should have 3 people. However, v'mhoyim mumchal rabim. If there's a dayan who is a mumcha, and the Rishonim, the Torah, explains what's the definition of a mumcha, he has to have 3 qualities. Number 1, he has to be a Talmud Chacham, knowing the halacha. Number 2, he has to have a reputation of being a mumcha. And number 3, he has to have experience. The halacha is, if we have such an individual, Don Afila B'Yachid, he could Paskin Adin Torah regarding Dina Mamnis, even as a single individual. Hachanami, one might think the same should be by Kiddush HaChodesh. Nigdi should be Yechidi, one dying alone should be enough. Kamash Malam, that we need 3 Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, Veima Hachanami, and perhaps, maybe just like by Dina Mamnis, one mumch is enough. So too should be the halacha by Kiddush HaChodesh. Answers the Gemara, Ein lecha mumcha l'rabim b'Yisrael yos Moshe Beinu. There's no one in Klal Yisrael that fit the qualifications of being a mumcha more than Moshe Beinu. Yet, the Karmelai HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Beinu regarding the dinam of Kiddush HaChodesh, Ad the Ika Aaron Badoch. You have to have Aaron join you in this process of Kiddush HaChodesh. Tiksiv, V'yoyim HaShem HaMosh V'al Aaron Be'eret Mitzrayim, Leim HaChodesh HaZelachem, Moshe and Aaron had to participate. And as Tosfos says, Ein Bezdin Shakul, we can never have a Bezdin just with 2 individuals, it's an even number. So it must be that for Kiddush HaChodesh, we must have 3 Dayanim. Tosfos makes a point. He says, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Amachloikis, said, if Midaraisa, one dayan is enough for Dine Mamnis. Says Tosfos, our sugyas are going according to that shita that says Midaraisa, one dayan is enough for Dine Mamnis, and therefore the Gemara considers perhaps so the din should be for Kiddush HaChodesh, and tells us the Gemara that it's not the same. However, says Tosfos, according to the man the Omer, the Midaraisa, we need 3 dayanim for Dine Mamnis. And it's only a special dispensation that the Rabbanan made that one mumchal rabbim is enough for Dine Mamnis. Kadesh loy tinal delos b'fnei lovim. They were concerned that if it will be difficult to assemble a Bezdin, people will not want to lend each other money. Certainly, says Taisus, three dayanim would be required for Kiddush HaChodesh, and there would be no purpose in this question even that three dayanim should not be necessary. One mumcha should be enough for Kiddush HaChodesh. The Ritva takes a different approach. The Ritva says that the Gemara means to ask from het and nedarim. The halacha is that everyone agrees that for het and nedarim to annul a neder, one yachid mumcha is enough. And the Gemara is considering perhaps so should be the din by Kiddush HaChodesh. Says the Gemara, lememra de'ed nasadayin. From what we're learning, a person who could potentially be an aid, a witness, can also serve as a dayin. Ask the Gemara, lemas nesed, like a Rabbi Kiva, which would be not consistent with Rabbi Kiva's position. And as the Mefarshim explained, on one hand we have a rule throughout Shas that we go with a Stam Masnissen. We follow a Stam Mishnah, which our Mishnah is. On the other hand, we have a rule throughout Shas, Halochik Rabbi Kiva Mechaveroi. When Rabbi Kiva has a Mechlekes with someone else, we usually follow Rabbi Kiva. So the question here is, if our Mishnah is not consistent with Rabbi Kiva's position, what do we do? The Tanya. The Gemara says Masechta Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Shiro Echad Shaharagas Nefesh. If Sanhedrin saw that someone killed someone, Miktsasa Nasan Edim, some of the people who saw this murder become Edim, Miktsasa Nasan Dayanim, and the ones that don't say testimony become Dayanim. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. And as the Rishonim explained, everyone agrees that the actual people who say testimony cannot serve as Dayanim. The question here is, can someone who saw testimony but didn't say it serve as a dayan? Rav Tarfon says he may. Rav Kiva Omer, Kula Nasan Edim, all of them can only serve as witnesses, Vein Ad Nasan Dayan, but none of them can serve as dayanim. Rav Kiva holds that somebody who could potentially be an aid can't be a dayan. So our Mishnah is saying different, that someone who could be an aid can be a dayan. And the Machlokes Rishonim in understanding Rabbi Kiva's position. The Rashbam holds, it's a Gzeres HaKosev, that you have to have Edim, and they have to have Dayanim, and somebody who's an aid cannot be a Dayan. Tosfos, many places throughout Shas, says that a qualification of Edis has to be Edis Shatayochel Azimoy. You know, there's a process of Edom Zayman, that if Edom say testimony, and then people come to ask, how could you say this testimony, come to question them, Imano Yisim, you were with us at that time, to become Edom Zayman. Explains Tosfos, if the dying, even if he's not saying testimony, if someone will come in and say to these witnesses that they're Edom Zayman, that the Yoram will not accept them, because they say they were with us in that place, therefore, ain't aid nas dying. And the Mefarshim explained, the perspective of difference between the Rashbam and Tosfos is the psul of aid nas dayin, a disqualification in dayonis. That's how the Rashbam says, that someone who can be an aid according to Bekiva can no longer serve as a dayin. And according to Tosfos, it seems to be an issue in aidus, that this is a problem in this aidus if these dayonim will be dayonim. Mechischinach asks, if that's the concern about Eid Nasadayin, that's Eid Shat Yochel Azimai, ask the Mechas Chinuch, the Gemara Masechta Makkos discusses what is the status of Eidus where the punishment that they wanted to cause someone to get, they cannot have. For example, the Gemara Masechta Makkos discusses if Eidim come in and say that one is a Ben Grusho or Ben Chalutza, and he's disqualified to be a Kohen. And then it turns out that these Edom that said this thing are Edom Zayman. Do we consider them Edom Zayman or not? On one hand, certainly they should be considered Edom Zayman. On the other hand, one of the requirements of Edom Zayman is that we should be able to sisim loy kasha zamam lasis lochiv. We should do to Edom what they wanted to cause someone else to happen to. This can't happen here. We can't make someone into a Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza. Ask the Mechas Chinuch, according to the Shita, that we can't be mekayim vasis mloy. Kash zomim lasis lochiv. There is no concept of eidim zomim. So by kiddush achodesh, also these people came in and said they saw the new moon. Then they turned to be eidim zomim. So we can't give them a punishment. So they did see the new moon. They didn't see the new moon. How can we give them a punishment? So says the Mechas Chinuch, according to the Mandom that says that even if you can't give them the punishment, what they wanted to do should happen to them, but still they consider a mezoimin and they get malchus because of the lav of leisan bereicha od shaker, that they said a lie, so therefore they can be considered eidim zoimin. But according to the shita that holds that we have to be able to give them the exact thing that they wanted to do, which is not the case here, we need to understand why over here there would be consideration of ein eid nasadayin. Says the Gemara, I feel time Rabbi Kiva. Even Rabbi Kiva could agree that by Kiddush HaChodesh, Eid Nasa Dayim. Because at Kan Lo Yikam Rabbi Kiva Hosom El Dinim Nefoshes, only by Dinim Nefoshes, did Rabbi Kiva say that someone who could potentially be a witness cannot be a Dayim. The Rechmona Amav Shofta Eid Vatsil Eidu. The Torah says that the Shoftim should judge and try to judge favorably. The Kivan, the Chazi, the Katal Nafshav, if these people who are serving as Dayanim also witnessed how someone killed someone else, Lematza Chazalay Lschusay, they won't be able to be open minded and judge favorably. Aval Hacha, that's only by Din and Afashas. Here by Kiddush HaChodesh, where we don't have such aspects to consider, I feel Rabbi Kiva Maida, even Rabbi Kiva would agree to Eid Nasadayim. Our Mishnah now begins to discuss the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. We know that on Rosh Hashanah we have to blow the shofar, and the shofar is the horn that grows out of the animal, and there are two types of shofars. There's what's called as a keren, a horn, which is one piece of bone growing out of the animal's head. And then there's a shofar. A shofar, as the Ramban explains in the introduction to our Mishnah, has two parts to it. It has the zachrus and the nakfus. It has the inside part, which is what's growing out of the animal's skull. That's called the zachrus. And then out, around that there's a nakfus, which is the shell around the inside part, which when we remove the inside part, that outside part remains the shofar. Says the Mishnah, Kol ha-shofars k'shayrim, all shofars may be used on Rosh Hashanah, chutz m'shel parah, except the horn of a cow, neshu keren, it's a keren, not a shofar. And as the Rishonim point out, it's not that the Torah requires that we use a shofar, it's that the Torah says that we cannot use a keren, and this is a keren, and therefore it's disqualified. The Farshim ask, why does the Mishnah refer to a para, to a cow? Why doesn't the Mishnah speak about a shor, an axe? So the Meiri explains that because an axe, because the horn of a para is easier and better to blow than the horn of an axe, so the Mishnah refers to a para. The other Rishonim explained, as we're going to learn Mitzshem soon in the Gemara, that the horn of a shor is disqualified. The Gemara will prove to us soon from a pasuk. But one would think that that only refers to the shor, to the axe, not to the parah, to the cow. So the Mishnah is teaching us that not only is the horn of the male usur, but also the horn of a female is disqualified. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Rabbanan. V'lakol ha-shofars nikru keren. All shofars are called a keren. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "B'mshoich b'keren hayoyvel," when you blow the keren of the ram, and we know that the horn of a ram is certainly considered acceptable. So we see that the horn of a ram is also that even something called a keren is considered acceptable. The mefarshim discuss what will be the halacha when you have the horn of an animal, the behemoth tameya, the horn of an animal behemoth tameya, what's going to be the halacha? The Farshim say that a behemah tameya should not be kosher, not to use for a shayfer, especially since, as we learned, I'm going to learn the Gemara, the great effect that the shayfer accomplishes, and therefore the Paiskim say that l'chatchila behemah tameya should not be used. However, the Mishnah Berurah says if there is no other horn available besides the horn of behemah tameya, it may be used. Another shayla that's discussed by the Paiskim is what is going to be that halacha of the horn of an animal that's klayim, that was bred two animals together. So the Rishonim seem to say that certainly if it was a breed of a behemah tameya and a behemah tahira, it should not be used. Number one, we have partial behemah tahira tameya here. Number two, it's a klayim. If it's a breed of two behemoth tahiris, again, certainly l'chatchila, it should not be used. But with the evidence, it seems that the poskim hold it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Shapakam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is arguing correctly that we see that all shayfers are called a Karen. So why does he disqualify these? Rabbanan, how will the Rabbanan respond? Answers the Gemara. Kol ha-shayfers, ikru shayfer v'ikru Karen. All shayfers are called both the name of shayfer and the name of a Karen. The parah, however, the horn of a parah, Karen ikri, it's only called Karen, shayfer la-ikri, and it's not called a shayfer. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu, speaks about Yosef, b'chor shor hadaloi, he speaks about Shev Yosef and he says that he has the quality of a shor, the kaine re'em karnav, and the horns are keren. So you see that when we speak about a shor, it's considered a keren, not considered a shayfer. Rabbi Yosef Amaloch, Rabbi Yosef says, I'll prove to you the para nami ikri shayfer, that the horn of a para is also called a shayfer. The pasuk says in Tehillim, David HaMelech speaks about how he will offer thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seat of Hashem Mishapar, and it will be more pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than a shor and a par. So the Gemara asks, if David HaMelech is meaning to say that his carbon will be more pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than a shor, some shor, what does the pasuk mention? Par. Then par, if he meant that it would be more pleasing than a par that it would bring, lama shor, what does he speak about a shor? Al mai shor par, why does David Melech use both the word shor and par? Mishayfer, to say that from a shor and a par, there is also possible to have a shayfer. Rabbanon, could Rab Masna. Rabbanon, how will they interpret this pasuk? They'll interpret it like Rab Masna. Dar Rab Masna, mai shor par, shugol kapar. It means that's a shor that's as full grown as a par, as Rashi explains. Normally, any living thing, when it's born, when it's created, it's small, until it ultimately grows to full size. However, the animals that were created during the Sheish Shmei Bereishis were, as we learned, created l'kaimason, they were created completely mature and whole. David HaMelech says that he's asking that the carbon that I bring should be more pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even more than those animals which were created whole. When it was a shor, when it was born as a shor, it already had all the quality of a par. My carbon should be more pleasing. Ulama, Ula says, Hanatam the Rabbanan. This is the reason why Rabbanan disqualified the horn of a shor or par. Kid Rav Chizda, Dam Rav Chizda, Vemnei Ma Ein Koyin Gadol Nichnas VeBigdei Zov Lufnai Lufnim Lavan Avoida. Why isn't a Koyin Gadol allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Avoida wearing the Bigdei Zov? Lufish Ein Katega Nas Sanega. A prosecutor cannot become a defender. The eagle, the gold, was the eagle Azov. We can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing gold clothing. Similarly, we can't use a shayfer from a cow, which represents a calf and eagle, which is enkategenas an eagle. The Farshim asked, The Rabbanan gave an explanation in the Mishnah why they disqualify the horn of a cow. Why did Ula have to give another explanation? So they say, since our Gemara began with the Mishnah, with the Gemara asking an excellent question on the Rabbanan, that isn't Rabbi Yossi's position a very strong position. So that's why Ula felt that we need another explanation to support the Rabbanan's position. Davni Nezer asks that we don't find that the Torah ever gives an explanation why they Kayin should wear certain begadim or not wear certain begadim. That all of a sudden here the Gemara is asking, why doesn't the Kayin Gadol wear the Shemayna, the big days of in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur? Answers the Avni Nezer. We know that in the bottom of the mill there were bells. What was the purpose of the bells? As the Pasuk says, V'nishma Kailoi B'vayel HaKodesh, that we should know when the Kayin Gadol is entering the Kodesh, says the Avni Nezer. Certainly, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, certainly he should be wearing this beged with the golden bells to be able, V'nishma Kailoi B'vayel HaKadosh, we should know when he's entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So ask the Gemara, now for sure he should be wearing it. Why isn't he wearing it? Says the Gemara, Ein Ketegen Nasa Ganega. Ask the Gemara, V'loy, is that true? V'kedam apart. The part of the Kabbonis on Yom Kippur, they spritzed on the Pareiches, on the Kapyrus, from Dam of a Par, and we're saying now we shouldn't use Par on Yom Kippur. Answers the Gemara, however, Ishtani, Ishtani. When you have blood, this is the way the Rishonim explained, when you have blood, you can't recognize that this blood comes from a Par, and that's why there is no concern of Enka Teganas Senegar. Ask the Gemara, Ika Oru, the Kapyrus, for Kruv, we have all of these different kalim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that are made out of gold, and he was saying there shouldn't be no gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Katega Nas Senega answers the Gemara, Choyte Bal Yaakov Kamin. What the Gemara says is that when you're being makir of a carbon, you should not bring something which is a prosecutor, something that reminds of the Aveira. Ask the Gemara, Vika Kafa Machta, what about the kafa machta that was brought, that the spoon and the ladle and the pan that were used on Yom Kippur that were made out of gold? Answers the Gemara, choyte ba yisnor kamrinan. What the Gemara meant to say is that you shouldn't make yourself beautiful with something that reminds of an aveira. Using the kafa machta aren't used for beautification, and since they're not used for beautification, therefore they may be made out of gold. Says Tosfos, however, by the Shofar, there is a concern of Yisnov adorning himself, because a person, says Tosfos, when he blows the Shofar nicely, certainly feels good, and that's why we shouldn't use such an item made out of gold. Ask the Gemara, Vika Big Nezov and Bechutz. What about the Big Nezov that the Kohen Gadol wore outside? Answers the Gemara, Mefnem Kamrinin. Where do we have the concept of Enka Tega Nasa Sanegar? Only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ask the Gemara, Shaifer Nami Bechutzu. The Shaifer wasn't blown in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was blown outside. Answers the Gemara, Kivin Dul Zakar and Kasi. Since the purpose of the Shaifer is to draw us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivifnim Dami. Wherever one is blowing the shofar, explaining the Mefarshim, one should be viewing himself as if he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and should be careful that therefore we don't want him made out of gold, because Enka Tega Nasa Senega. Tosfos asks, so how could Aaron wear the Eifer and Choshev, which are made out of gold, which have on it the names of the Shvatim, which are Lizikaroi? Answer Tosfos, it's not the gold that serves as a zikaron that Eifer the Choshev. It's the stones with the names of the Shvatim, and therefore it has no such concern. Ask the Gemara, how could Ula explain that the reason why you're not allowed to use this horn of a cow, of a shor, because Enka Tega Nasa Senegar, for Tanav Neshu Karen Kamar, the Pasuk, did the Tanav explicitly say, the Rabbanan say in our Mishnah, the problem is that they're a Karen? Answers the Gemara, Chod of Oid Kama. The way to understand the Mishnah is that one pshat, and furthermore, Number one, chada, you shouldn't use the horn of par or shar. Then ketegenasis an eger. Why? There's another problem. Neshu keren. Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees, amalak, how will he hold? The ka'amrit enketeganas neger, the concern that you raised about enketeganas neger, hani mil b'fnim, that only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'hai shayfim b'chutzu, the shayfer is not blown in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The ka'amrit nei shukaren, and the concern that you said that the horn of a shor or a par is a karen, kol ha'shayfer snap riku karen, they're all called a karen. Mefarshim ask, we know Rashi and Chumash quotes from Moshe Hadarshan that says, what is the reason for bringing a para aduma? Tova ima to the kaneach tzois mena. Let the mother clean up after its child. Asks the mefarshim, why don't we say enka tega nasa senega? So the Aruchaner answers that the principle of tova aim for the kaneach tzois mena applies when we're trying to have a kapara on the actual avera that was committed. Then we don't say enka tega nasa nega. But the shofar is not coming to bring kapara dafka on the avera of egel. It's coming to bring kapara on all averas. There we have issue of enka tega nasa nega. Another pshat that I saw from Arachaim HaKadosh is we specifically want the para aduma to come from an egel. Because what we're trying to say, says the Arachaim, is that we know that the avoida of the para haduma had to be done by a koyin. And what we're saying is that the koyin, Aaron HaKoyin, did not really participate in this avera of the ego, and therefore there is no concern of enka tega nasa nega. Another pshat along the same lines is that Aaron HaKoyin did tshuva mehava, and we know the Gemara says that somebody does tshuva mehava, his averis become zochiyos, his averis become mitzvos, and therefore there's no concern of enka tega nasa senega. Similarly, the Mefarshim ask, the pasuk says by Adam v'Chava, v'yisperu alei te'ena, after they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they covered themselves with fig leaves. So the Mefarshim ask that there are a lot of Mefarshim that say that the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree, so how could they use that for enka tega nasa senega? So one pshat of Chaim Kanievsky I saw says that this concept of enka tega nasa nega is only by an avoider. Here it's not an avoider. Moreover, says Rabbi Simcha Zitzel Brody, they specifically wore alei te'ena to be a constant reminder to them of the avera they did and the repercussions that it caused and that they must do tshuva. The Paiskim discuss this whole concept of enka tega nasa nega. And they certainly seem to all agree that we apply this concept that we should not use something which an avera was done with to do a mitzvah. For example, the halach is a kohen who rachman tzlan killed someone should not dochet. Those very hands that killed someone should not be the vehicle to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. Or as we learned in Masechta Sukkah, lulav hagozel. If someone stole a lulav, so the item that you did in Aveira, Geneva, Gzela, should not be used for Dvar Mitzvah. Other times, there are different menhagim. Interestingly, I saw Rabbi Kiva Eger says that there's a meaning not to wear gold on Yom Kippur, because of Enka Tega Nasa Nega, perhaps a Zeicha for what we learned now in our Gemara. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that doesn't apply to women. Since women did not voluntarily participate in the Avera of the ego, they certainly may wear gold on Yom Kippur. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Haina Tamadai Rabbanan, this is the reason why the Rabbanan hold one should not use the horn of a shor or par. Shofar Amar Chmona, the Torah says you should use one shofar, v'loshnayim v'shol shofars, not two or three shofars, v'hod para. And the horn of a cow, keeping the kai gildi gildi, every year it glows a new layer. Mechzi kishnayim v'shloshes shofars, it looks like two or three new shofars. I saw a very beautiful pshat, a pidrush. The point of a shofar is to bring achdus and klal Yisrael. As the pasuk says, v'hoi b'yom ahu, yitok b'shofar gadol, uba oiv demeretz asher, v'nidach demeretz mitzrayim, all of klal Yisrael will come together to unite. A shofar that's made out of shnayim v'shloish shofars, that's made out of different parts, is the opposite of what the shofar causes. That represents disunity, different parts, and is the opposite of the purpose of the shofar. Ask the Gemara again, Vatana, we learned the Rabbanan HaMishnah said, Neshu Karen Kamar, and it says the Gemara, Chodavad Kamar. Chodah, the shofar Echram Rechmona, the Torah said we should use one shofar, V'loi Shnayim V'shol Shofars. V'sh'oid, Neshu Karen, there's another consideration that it's a Karen. Rabbi Yossi, who holds that we're allowed to use the horn of a cow, what will he hold? Amloch, the Kamer, Shofar Echram Rechmona, V'loi Shnayim V'shol Shofars. I say, says Rabbi Yossi, Kivin Mechabri HaDadi, since these different layers are connected, they grow together. Kharu, it's all considered one shofar. Or the Kamer, Nesha Karen, and your consideration, because it's a Karen, Kala Shofar, Namrika Karen, all shofars are considered a Karen, and therefore are not issue. Mefarshim discuss, what is the nafgamina between these various pshatim? So the Mefarshim want to suggest that according to Abaya, if there will be a horn of any animal that grows layers, it will be disqualified. According to Ula, it's only a parah that's disqualified. Another consideration is, what will be the shofar used, we'll discuss it later, on a tinus. If it's consideration, because enkateganas sanegar, so that should not be used, because that also comes lizikaroin. According to this reason, it may not be disqualified. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah called the horn of a ram a yovel. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, the high yovel lishu dekruhu. Where do we know that a yovel means a ram? The Tanya Amar Bekivik, shalachti la'arvia, hayakarin ledikru yovla. They would call a ram a yovla. Vamar Bekivik, shalachti la'galya, hayakarin lenida galmuda. They would call a nida galmuda. What does the amuda mean? Gemula domi balish. She must be separated from her husband. As the first one explained, the word neither doesn't have such nice connotations to try to avoid it, or to always remember that you called her a gamuda, to always remember that she remained, that when she's a neither, she has to remain separated from her husband. Vamra Bekiva, Shalachti Lafriki, Haikarim Lamog Sita, they would call a Mog Sita, my nafkamina, what do I need to know this? Lafrusha Mog Sita Daraisa, when the Torah uses the word Mog Sita, it means may a donkey, as the Mashal explains. The Torah, Yaakov Avinu, was the one that instituted this denomination called a Ma, which is a smaller denomination. Also now we see it's called a Ksita. He introduced this denomination because it's easier to do business sometimes with smaller denominations. Amarevik, Shrachtel Kracha Yayim, Harakarin Lamakira Kira. They called the business transaction Kira. Lamayin Nafkamina, Lefrushi, to explain, Ashakarisili, Yaakovinu said, I bought Damaras Makpela. Amarashim Elokish, Shrachtel Tchum Kanisharya, Harakarin Makala Ninfi. They would call a Kala Ninfi. Lotanagoel Sefchi, they would call a rooster a Sechfi. Makala Ninfi, Mikro Yefei Knife, a beautiful bride, Messiah's colors. So sort of a first explain, why is a kala called knife? Knife usually refers to a field. And just like in a field there are trees that give off fruit, so too we call the kala this way that she should have children. Vibai Seima, Ultanagol called Safchi, Ari Yudam Rav, Vibai Seima Rabbi Shuban Levi, Mikro, Misos Petuchas Chachma, somebody who put in the smooth ones wisdom, or Minasim L'Sechvi Vina, who gave the Sechvi understanding. Misach B'tuchas Chachma El Kloyus. This refers to the kidneys. The kidneys, if I say, are called tuchas either because they're a smooth organ, or because they're tuch, they're covered with fat. In Nasim L'Sechvi Vina, who gave the Sechvi understanding, Zatana girl, that a rooster knows to discern when it's morning. Levi Ikla Lahu Asra. Also Gavla Kavei, that somebody came to him, Amalei, and asked him, they told him, cover plenty. Somebody was Kaveya me, cover me. Lo Yodam my Kamala, he didn't know what he meant. Also Shobim Medrasha. So he went to the Beis Medrash to ask, what does cover mean? Amalei, Gazla Amalach. He meant that somebody stole from him. The Ksiv Ayikva Odom Elokim, as the Pasuk says, the Novi Malachi gives Musa to Klai Yisrael, why are you stealing, so to speak, from a Kaddish Baruch Hu by not giving the Trumas some Isis? Amalei Rabbah Banash L'Ravashi, Ihav Oy Hasam, had I been there, Havaminalei, I would have said to him, Heich Kavach, how do you How did he cover you? My kavach with what? For my kavach with why? And therefore I would have understood what cover means. And the Mefarshim point out, from here we see that that's not considered Geneva Stas by speaking it in that way, just to try to understand by context what he meant. He was concerned that cover means that something of a dvar ever, speaking about an indecent act. That's why he didn't want to ask too many questions. Demri Emes says a beautiful vart. Here we see the word cover means to steal. So he says, we know that the Gemara says that when a person leaves this world, comes to the Olam Emes, they ask him, Kavata itel metayra. So he says, what does Kavata mean? They ask him, Kavata, did you steal itel metayra? There's always an excuse not to learn. What a person has to do is Kavata, he has to steal time, metayra, to learn. They have the other Rabbanim my Sirugim. The Rabbanim did not know what Sirugim means. Shomel Amsebe, Rebbe, the Chazir and Rabbanim Dav Ayal Piski Piski. She saw that the Rabbanim were coming into Rebbe's house in small groups, not all at one time. Amalei and Masay Atam Nechnesin Sirugin Sirugin to one where you come in small groups. Lehav Yadar Rabbanimai Chal Gogolois. The Rabbanim do not know what Chal Gogolois are, and they need to know, because the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Yuma that a Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur is not supposed to wear, is supposed to do things that could cause an emission, and eating chalgalgalois is such a food. Or Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim explained that chalgalgalois we're supposed to examine a zov to determine if he's truly a zov by asking him, did he eat chalgalgalois? So lo yavi yodar by my chalgalois. Yom echad shamu la'amstu by Rebbe, they heard Rebbe's maid, the chazlo gavro, she saw this man, the kamechadeb a paparnei, he was scattering paparnei. Amleh mosa atem mefaz chalgaloschach, it's a type of herb. Lo yavi yodar by my salsala v'taramecha. What's pshat salsala? Yom echad shamu la'amstu by Rebbe, they heard Rebbe's maid servant, they have almost lahu gavro, they have kamehapa basari, she was saying to a person who was curling his hair, and Moshe at the Masasal Basarach. So you see, Masasal means to lift up. Lahavi other Berma betataseu betate hashmi. What does it mean, tate b'mashmi? Yoim echad shomel amstu b'Rebbe. They heard this maid. The amos am lechavito shkule tateisa. Take the broom, betate base and sweep the house. So here the pasuk say, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will sweep out all of the rishoyim. What does it mean? Throw on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yahav, and he will sustain you. I was traveling with an Arab merchant, have a Darina Tuna, and I was carrying a load. Take you, Yahav, Vishada Glimei, and put it on my camel. The Mefarshim explain here, from here the Gemara is teaching us how much a person should rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will carry our entire burden. There's a beautiful mashal from the Dubna Magid, where a person was once traveling carrying a heavy burden, and somebody pulled up in a wagon and said, come on, I'll take you, you shouldn't have to walk carrying this heavy burden. So he came on, but he was still wearing the knapsack. So the driver told him, there's no difference, you might as well put it on the floor. To me, the wagon is pulling us anyway. A person should realize that all of his pekel, everything he's carrying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could schlep for us and does schlep for us, and he should feel comfortable in relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Mishnah in discussing the Shofar. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar that's used on Rosh Hashanah, Shayal Poshet. It should be the horn of a wild goat, which is straight. Umepiv Tzupazov, and its mouth is plated with gold. Vishtei Chatzoyt has been at Stodim. There were two trumpets that were blown, that were kept on the side. Shofar Marech, the Shofar blows longer, the Chatzoyt is Mekatzoyt, and that means the Chatzoyt will stop blowing, and then continue with the Shofar. Shemitzvah Hayoim, because the mitzvah is accomplished with a shofar. On Matanias, and on fast days, they would also blow chatzoitras. A Mechloikas, Rashi, and the Rambam, what were the purpose of these chatzoitras? Rashi seems to learn that this, the purpose of the shofars were to gather together the people. The Rambam seems to learn that the purpose of the chatzroitzes was to get the people to do tshuva. We blow off the horn of males, male sheep, which are bent, and the mouth are coated, plated with silver. We had two chatzroitzes in the middle, shofar makatzer, on the tiniest the shofar blows shorter, the chatzroitzes marichos, and the chatzroitzes were blew longer. Shemitzus ayoyim the chatzroitzes, because the mitzvah today is to blow chatzroitzes. And as the Yishami explains, we always keep in the middle the more prominent. So on Rosh Hashanah we keep the shofars in the middle, on the tiniest we keep the chatzroitzes in the middle. Shava hayoyvel Rosh Hashanah, on yoyvel they also will blow a shofar. It has the same halacha, litkia, what should be used for a shofar, ulabrachis, what brachis are said in the Shemoneh Esrei of the Yom Kippur of Yovel. The Farshim explained that the shofar that we blow, Matzah Yom Kippur, is just a zecher for that tkia that they blew on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Others say it's not even a zecher, it's just to declare that Yom Kippur is over, and therefore there aren't any specific halachas regarding that shofar. Yehuda says, Rosh Hashanah Taikim Shal Zecharim, Rosh Hashanah we blow with the horns of males, of Yovelus, on Yovel we blow with Sheyelim, the horn of a wild goat. Amrav Levi, says Rav Levi, Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is to use kfufim, shofars that are bent. V'shakol Hashanah, and the entire year we're supposed to use pshutim, straight ones. Ask the Gemara, but then we just learned at the beginning of our Mishnah, v'atnan shofar shel Rosh Hashanah sheyel pashut, that in Rosh Hashanah we're supposed to use the horn of a wild goat, which is straight. And says the Gemara, Huda Makai Tana. Rav Levi agrees with the following Tana. Tanya, as Rabbi Huda Omer, Rosh Hashanah, Hayutaitim Mishal Zacharim, Kfufim. Rosh Hashanah, they would blow with the horns of males, which are bent. Ubi Yovelus, on Yovel, they blew with the horns of wild goats, which are straight. And like the Mefarshim explained, if we're quoting Rabbi Yehuda, why are we quoting Rabbi Yehuda from the Braisa and not Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah? Because in the Mishnah, all we have Rabbi Yehuda saying was Zecharim, that they use male. But he doesn't explicitly say they should be bent. In the Braisa, he explicitly says they should be bent. That's why we prefer to quote the Braisa. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Levi is passing like Rabbi Yehuda, V'lei mehilchas like Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't he just say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, I amrit hilchas like Rabbi Yehuda, if he would have him say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, have min afil shal yoivel nam Rabbi Yehuda sfirulei. He would hold that by yoivel also like Rabbi Yehuda, that we should use, as Rabbi Yehuda says, ye'elim. Kamash Malan, that he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on Rosh Hashanah, but he doesn't agree with him on yoivel. On yoivel, he holds that there's a gzeri shava, that the same type of shofar should be used on Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel, and therefore it's the same shofar. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, most Rishonim say that a different shofar should be used for Yovel than from Rosh Hashanah, to so that it's not the same thing. There are other Rishonim that say that when Rabbi Yehuda says be Yovel's b'shayelim, he doesn't mean that you must use your elim on Yovel. All he means to say is you may use your elim on Yovel. But Michael Mefki, what's the machloikis? Mar sova Rosh Hashanah, kam de kaif inish date tve mala. Rosh Hashanah, it's better to reflect an attitude of being bent down, which is reflected with a bent shofar. V'yom Kippurim, kam de poshet inish date. On Yom Kippur, a person should straighten out, because it represents the emancipation of Yovel tve mala. Masav Rosh Hashanah, kam da poshet inish date. More person straightens his mind, tfei mali, it's preferable. Obetanias, kam da kayif inish date. On fast days, a person should blow his mind, that's tfei mali. The first one explained that the point of Rosh Hashanah is for a person to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just and to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is, how does a person accomplish this? So Mefarshim say, either by being an honor, by being bent, or by being straight and realizing that all of his actions should be consonant with the Ratzon Hashem. The halacha lemaisa, the best thing that should be used, the Paiskim say, is a bent horn, a Roshana, is a bent horn of an isle, because that was what was used by Yitzchak. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we should use a shayfal to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of their Kedah. If a person has an option to use either an aisle or bent, it's a machlokes what to do. It seems that most Paiskim say preferably one should use a bent shayfar. However, the Paiskim say if he has no other choice, any horn of an animal which is naturally hollow, which has, as we explained earlier, zachris in the nakfus, is kosher to be mekayim the mitzvah.